I think we're in Urbandale.
We are in the greater metro area, so yes, we are.
We're close. We're very close.
Coming at you live.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, and at @HappyHour_SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, or the website 1700thechamp.com. The Twins and the Tigers tonight. They didn't win their game last night. You got to beat the Tigers. I know it's on the road, but you got to beat the Tigers. And the Guardians came back and won one, so it's back to 4.5. So we got to keep rooting them on, see what happens. Friday and Saturday, it's Twins-Phillies. Sunday is Chiefs-Saints preseason football. And next Tuesday is Twins and Tigers as well. So we have that to look forward to. As always, as soon as I grab my piece of paper, we want to thank our three sponsors. We'll talk more about them here later in the show. We have Woodman Controls. We have Northwest Bank. We have Heritage Building Maintenance. Had a lunch meeting with them today. It was kind of nice.
That's good.
Talked about a lot of stuff.
Where'd you go to lunch?
Francine's.
Francine's?
Yeah. Over by you. Isn't it called Francine's?
No, Francie's.
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 Okay, Francie's.
I'm like, Francine's, that sounds, ooh, that's fun.
No, but, it was really good.
No, Francie's, that's really good.
That's some really good soup.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be very excited.
In fact, I need to be getting a text message from the bartenders up there. We'd usually do a fantasy football league at Francie's, so. And I'm not good.
So they like you, right?
Oh, they love my money.
Good deal. All right. So a lot of stuff going on. We also have to take a step back, too. We had a really good time yesterday with Broadlawn's marketing team.
The marketing team was
Melissa,
very good to us.
Izzy, Nate. They were out. Izzy and Nate were out taking some pictures at Toad Valley. That they had a golf tournament this morning. It was kind of rainy this morning, but I do believe they got it in because I didn't hear that it was canceled. So,
man, it is spotty because downtown where we are by the airport, it sprinkled early. But wow. You look to the east side and it was pouring.
Yeah, it did. It poured on the west side too, which is really, really strange. Our parking lot was
spotty,
covered.
You know what? It can rain however it wants to rain. I'm happy for the rain. My yard is starting to come back. So,
yep, I agree with that one too. All right. So, okay, we took care of all those. Where are you heading?
Well, I'm heading. I guess it's a few different places here.
Okay.
We've got preseason, and I'm trying to dig into this here on my computer I got in front of me. We've got the Chiefs preseason game on Sunday.
Yep.
That's going to be televised. We've got, Friday night? No, excuse me. Thursday night, there's a 6 o'clock game, a 9 o'clock game. Friday night, there's 6 different games. Saturday, there's 6 more games. And then there's 2 games on Sunday. I'm trying to figure out how to watch them. Because, I mean, I've got my NFL package, but that's the fun thing. Just because I have NFL package on YouTube, it doesn't matter with preseason. So, not that I really have to dive into watching.
Well, you want to watch 6 plays because that's about what it's going to be.
No, I mean, you got to see some of these guys. You know, they're fighting for to finish their dream and make it come true. But man, that's a lot of football this weekend.
It is. And I was going to check. We talked a little bit about high school football. And somebody told me that not this weekend –
I think it's next weekend. Isn't that week zero?
I think it's the weekend after next that high school football starts.
It's got to be after the fair. It's always after the fair, isn't it?
Well, you would hope so. Iowa High School.
Really? But anyway, we've got tomorrow lined up. We are going to be out at the fair.
Yes.
It is supposed to be beautiful tomorrow.
Really beautiful day.
Brooksy lined up to come in at 4:21. We're trying to get B Styles in today. Haven't heard.
Yep, haven't heard yet.
Just because the week is – it's been a weird week. Monday was Tuesday. Tuesday was Thursday. I mean, it's just been – it's been a crazy week with scheduling and everything. But I guess with that being said, where's your mind at today? I'm still going with the Kevin Brown and the Orioles deal where just – I mean – He was the announcer that was put on indefinite leave for, how do I say it, saying facts.
Yeah,
he wasn't. He wasn't downplaying. He was stating the facts of what happened when the Orioles played at Tropicana. Correct.
Yes.
Right. And he went and just said, "Hey, we've been good here. We haven't been good." I mean, facts. Just.
That's what your team's supposed to be.
Right. I mean, it's the same as if he said, it's a 3-2 count with two outs. It's a fact.
Right.
You know. But
and you're a 70-win team. Having a great year, and you're worried about negativity from a comment that no one took negatively.
Well, it wasn't a negative, and it wasn't. They say it wasn't an organization. It came from a certain source, which they say was the owner. Blah blah blah. Which obviously, when you're the owner, you can do whatever you want. But it was pretty darn cool to hear the chants of "Free Kevin Brown" last night during the game, and that was, you know,
and it came back to bite them. They lost a game in the ninth inning on a grand slam home run and couldn't score any runs in their bottom of the half. Man, you can't do stuff like that.
No, karma. You can't take away
karma's not good.
Right, and in any of the simplest ways, you can't take away from the focus of the team. And I'm sure it is. It's something that, you know, if you don't have the fans 100% behind you per se, and you're going to hear that.
Yep.
When the focus isn't on the field, so. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's a weird situation. We don't know 100% of what was said or what, you know, how it went down. But it seems like an extreme punishment for something very, very.
And see, that was the crazy thing when it started. It was three games, and then it went to indefinitely to see, because maybe they don't like the pushback they're getting either. So,
Funny how power struggles.
Yeah, that, you know, ownership would be finicky about having people talk negatively about them.
Wow. Wow, exactly,
man. 25th, August 25th is first football games.
Week zero, as they call it.
It just said August 25th.
Okay,
it didn't give a numerical on
okay,
that.
Okay, so it is. It's the week after
the, yeah.
Yeah, so we've so got 2 weeks gets, of the fair, and they get that out of the way, and then it is time for high school football.
Yep. So very excited about that too. We're going to have to find a high school football guru guy to come in and talk. So we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Someone who is has their thumb on the heartbeat of high school football.
So we'll take a close look at that. Okay, I've got one for you.
Fire away.
And I'm not understanding this completely, because I think I'm upset, but I'm trying to figure out if I have reason to be upset. So in my photos today, I took a photo of none other than Mr. Henry Ruggs of the Las Vegas Raiders, who was vastly speeding down a Las Vegas strip street and killed someone.
Yes.
He got sentenced Wednesday to 3 to 10 years in prison.
That's quite a spread.
And it's quite low. I mean, he killed somebody and driving recklessly.
At 3-something in the morning at 115 plus mile an hour.
With alcohol in his body.
Yes.
You would think that they would, in Vegas, of all places, would take that a little bit more seriously than a 3 to 10 year sentence.
But I
found that to be, I found that to be interesting. That, you know, I kind of thought that they were going to throw the book at him, and they didn't. Which that, I, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But I think that I was a little upset about that, but there's nothing that we can do about it. And it's not like he has money to pay off, because he lost almost everything that he had. So that's
exactly.
For all those young men out there and young women, man, we're all one step away from you not knowing.
Right. It's a horrible deal all the way around. I mean, it's a lot of life was taken, but it's also he in essence has taken any normalcy from his life as well.
Oh, absolutely. We will collective up in Ames still busy. Now they are Northern Vessel are proud to bring you the ultimate canned cold brew experience, coffee in a can for the We Will Collective. Look at that.
I hear they're doing a lot of things, but the only one I'm hearing numbers out of is the Swarm. Good heavens. And that we haven't even started tailgating yet.
Yeah.
They're making some coin over there in Iowa City.
And it seems funny that the We Will Collective hasn't, I mean, they just haven't put the numbers out. So I don't know if they have numbers, but.
Well, and we got to think about it. Remember, some of it is for the We Will Collective. Some of it was the official beer of Iowa. I mean, some was for the university. I mean, they're covering a lot of different bases.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great idea, but sometimes when you can't sharpshoot with a shotgun. You know what I mean?
Yes. I guess my second one, and this was a really, this was an odd one as well. So. Northwestern coaches yesterday coming out on the practice field were wearing shirts that said Cats Against the World with Pat Fitzgerald's number that he wore at Northwestern when he played there. The athletic director, not really happy.
I'm going... Wow.
Northwestern athletic director Derek Gregg releases a statement expressing disappointment in the tone-deaf T-shirts worn by coaches at today's practice. I'm extremely disappointed that a few members of our football program staff decided to wear Cats Against the World T-shirts. Neither I nor the university was aware that they owned or would wear these shirts today. These shirts are inappropriate, offensive, and tone-deaf. Let me be crystal clear. Hazing has no place at Northwestern, and we are committed to doing whatever is necessary to address hazing-related issues, including thoroughly investigating any incidents or allegations of hazing or any misconduct. I got a feeling that those coaches may not have jobs by the end of the week.
That is a blatant proverbial finger in the air.
I'm pretty sure that the athletic director came in and said, guys, understand. He is he's a friend to everybody. I mean, listening to Mike Greenberg he said it on his show, and then ESPN clips it out there all the time that, you know what, this totally hurts me, but I've known Pat Fitzgerald since he played college and I was at Northwestern writing in a paper, and I love the guy. We all make mistakes, and I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying it humbles me that this happened to somebody like him.
Right.
Which he's able to do that. He works in the radio industry. You mm-hmm. you can have an opinion. I'm pretty sure that the assistant coaches aren't allowed to have an opinion like that.
Well,
going against the administration.
We kind of touched on this with this conversation too. Okay, with the hazing incident that happened, and now there's finger pointing going to the head coach. With that being said, it stopped at the head coach. Why didn't they? I mean, to me, the assistant coaches would have known before the head coach knew.
Absolutely.
I mean,
athletic director was there during the alleged time either. So, because that's what I said. Everybody should have been held accountable.
Right. If we're throwing blame so hard and heavy at one person, I'm thinking that if he didn't know and someone underneath him knew, then why isn't the, yes, you're in trouble, I'm going to with this, but you can't just put him on the chopping block by himself.
Here's a really tough thing for me. And
so maybe they know that. Maybe they know that it's there. Look, if you're gonna, you know, sacrifice him, we're here to say that we're not happy with it. And if you want to get rid of us, get rid of us.
Yeah. And my advice, and they're not seeking my advice, but my advice would be probably a good idea to do that. Now, the one thing I will say that there are probably student athletes that are on the team that have a love for the coach still, that stuff can't happen.
Right.
And the sad part about all of it and all the fights and everything on who knew, who didn't know and all that is nobody just says this. These things happened. They were inappropriate. These young men or young women have been changed forever.
Right.
And we have to fix it. And that means that we have to hold people accountable. And the scary thing is it's everybody. I mean, I love the fact that your presidents and everything of these universities, you know, they always want to be involved and they always want to be involved unless it's something bad. And they're like, oh, no, you can talk to my assistant
right.
You know, to do that.
We need to get, yeah.
They all have to take responsibility for it, and they all have to be out in front of it. And the hope that you do, the hope that you thought after all of this would be, okay, we nip this one in the bud, and if this is happening somewhere else, maybe this will stop it. But then to continue seeing things like what the coaches did today, or, you know, just the talk of, well, that's, it's stupid, it didn't happen. Okay, there's a lot of people that know it happened. There's people that have signed affidavits that it happened. Guess what, folks? It's a legal matter. And if you sign an affidavit stating something happens and it didn't happen and they can prove that it didn't happen, that you're breaking the law. I mean, it's really simple. And that person would be in trouble just as much as everybody else. It just, I think it was handled very poorly by a state school in the state of Illinois. I mean, that's not a good thing.
And the horribly sad thing, both you and I know about, this goes on everywhere.
Absolutely. It goes on in high school.
Right.
It goes on all over.
We hear about whether it's over here, it's whether it's a baseball party or football with this, it's when the new ones come in, it's the, you know, we're going to watch him drink until he passes out type of thing. And you hear that horrible story one time a year that person didn't wake up, and it's
right.
But it's a
ritual.
It's a ritual.
That,
it's testing your boundaries. It's
I know it. And we sound like old
mistakes.
People.
Mistakes get made.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 17. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are halfway through. We are less than, what, 16, 18 hours before it is fair time. Iowa State Fair.
Yeah. We're 23 hours away from being live
at the fair.
So yeah,
fair opens up at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.
We'll have lobster rolls in our belly by then.
That's right. That's going to be exciting. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter for the show is at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _13, and at Happy Hour _SS. Minnesota Twins again tonight play the Detroit Tigers. They're going to be joined in progress like it was last night and the day before. So we have that going. And Sunday, you have Chiefs and Saints, a preseason game. A lot of preseason football on. We are, so you can hear the Kansas City Chief and New Orleans Saints game here on the radio. I don't know if you can see them on TV
yet.
Well,
like I said, I'm going down the path here, and it shows a lot of NFL Network.
Right.
Which, like, I just signed in through my provider, which is still DirecTV streaming. It just, I don't think, let's say hypothetically, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan.
Right.
I don't think I'll be able to see the Dolphin game because it's going to be only on the local affiliate.
Are we hypothetically saying that? Why are you hypothetically
because
saying that's your team?
I don't want to say that, you know, I'm just trying to be open-minded that we're just not, you know, somebody says, I sit here, I'm a Yankees fan, and Ravens fan, Todd, that's all we talk about. I don't want to be one-sided when it comes to sports, Steen.
Yeah, I don't, you, the only person that brings up the Ravens is you.
There you go.
I'm under the radar. So we just saying that, and I totally lost my train of thought there. So you have the first read.
And, of course, it is Northwest Bank, commitments you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank. to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans. From vehicle loans to mortgages, it all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on, member FDIC.
Good job out of you. So, sure. I did happen to see on social media today a couple of videos from Miami Dolphins practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember yesterday when we said, man, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, they are so fast. Because he's taking snaps against number one defense, against number one offense, and Tua's taking snaps, and he's got about a second and a half before someone was in his face.
Yeah, and
upright. Yes. He has to be upright for the entire year.
And I also heard that Jalen Waddle left the practice field clutching his side. So hopefully that's nothing, maybe just a cramp.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Appendicitis. So,
there you go.
That's what it was.
Exactly.
That's it. Okay. So you did say, you mentioned the New York Yankees. Not me today, but
yes.
I do have a New York Yankee.
Wait a minute. Let me get the standings up real quick if we're going to talk.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good idea.
Yep, there they are. There they are.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, actually, the record is fine. It's just they happen to be in a really good.
They are 59-55, and they are not in last place.
Nope, they went one of
the Red Sox are in last place of the AL East with a 58-55 record. That gets you usually a wild card.
Yep, not in this.
Minimum.
And the Baltimore Orioles are 70, and the Tampa Bay Rays are 69-46.
Good gravy.
So the word on the street is that
they're kicking out Rizzo.
I think Rizzo had a concussion, and that's really bad for the Yankees too. This has not been a good look for the Yankees this year.
How long ago did he have the concussion? They just finally acknowledged it.
Well, he had it like four games before they acknowledged it, if not more, where he
he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, he was on the he was still playing first base, and I think he thought he was in line for a ride at Disney.
No.
So that's never good.
The phrase "Where's Rossi?" That's not good. No. That's not good.
The reports are that Brian Cashman is likely to stay, but Aaron Boone his future looks pretty iffy, and this has been. This has been my thought with Mr. Boone, Coach Boone. When you are out there and the only way that you can try to get away from negativity of how the team is playing is by you going out making a starts with an A, ends in an S.
Yes.
You're done. You don't have any coaching ability left. That's all you can do is try to – keep your guys from taking all the hits from New York media
right.
is for you to act like you're a 12-year-old.
Okay.
Man, I love myself going out and yelled at umpires when I was younger.
Right. And there's a place for it because at certain times, as much as a basketball coach or a baseball coach, it's you need to, hey, I'm going to light them up and I'm probably going to get tossed, but I need you guys to understand that I care. You need to get a fire. Hopefully this gets you going down the path as well. Here's my question, and I ask this of you as a sports analysis, or if you will, what is it as simple as injuries, or what is wrong with the Yankees?
They have no third baseman. You mentioned Anthony Rizzo, who was a huge deal when they've been playing well at certain points in times. They don't have a first baseman, and you know it's. It's a poorly constructed team. It's a team constructed for a lot of money without a lot of production. And that here's the thing.
Aaron Judge's injury isn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's 30 games, but they weren't playing great when he was there.
Okay.
He was playing great, but that affects it as well.
Is he a locker room guy that he needs? I mean, he
Aaron
has
Judge?
To. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well,
I'm trying to.
He's pretty quiet. He seems like he's pretty quiet.
Do the pieces need to be put back in a can, shook up, and figure out?
But I think you can change the narrative by getting rid of the coach. It's really? One of these times
okay.
that I think he has been ejected. It's a huge number, like 20 times in the past 2 years.
Okay.
That's not trying to get your point across. That's trying to do something to deflect things away from your team.
Right.
It's admirable. Yes. But you have to have better control of your team and get your team to do things than what they're doing. I think there's when we look at this and you pulled it up, I have it pulled up as well. The Baltimore Orioles are nowhere. I bet they're not even 1/5 of the payroll of the Yankees.
Exactly.
The Toronto Blue Jays are 5 games ahead of them. Theirs is not even close. The Minnesota Twins have more. They're not close. You know, it's just you have the Mariners. Their payroll is not close. You know, this might have changed because I didn't see what happened last night, but there was a thing right out the All-Star break, like the first eight games of the All-Star break after. All these big teams, the Angels and a whole bunch of others that were supposed to make big moves who didn't, none of them had won games. They were 0 for like 28. Mm-hmm. This is a league that you have to have, you know, it's not about spending the most money. Because if it was about spending the most money, then the Padres wouldn't be next to last, and the Cardinals wouldn't be last, you know, and the Mets wouldn't be in last. You know, we get that the Athletics are. The Boston Red Sox wouldn't be in last place. You know, it's just not the way baseball is run. You have to have more of a cognitive way to win baseball games other than everything has to go perfectly. And that's kind of what it seems like the Yankees are doing. Oh, Giancarlo Stanton's out. Well, it's not perfect. So, you know, if we
right.
You know, if we go 500 through this trip, that's good enough. No, it's not. You're the New York Yankees. It's not good enough. So,
well, and obviously in the AL Central, they've got a winning record. That usually is huge. You try to be above 500, but that division is so good. You've got to watch. I'm going through and looking. You know, you got the Brewers in first place. The Cubs are in second place in the NL Central right now. Two games back. If it were to be the wild card, it would be the Cubs and the Brewers right now.
Yeah.
Or the Cubs playing the Brewers. But it's a lot of baseball to be played yet.
And there's a lot of, like, right now, the Texas Rangers and the Seattle Mariners and the L.A. Dodgers in the last 10 games are all 8-2. That's the kind of stuff you have to do. You have to keep things going. When you get on a roll, you have to keep on a roll. The Yankees are 4-6. The Red Sox are 2-8. The Kansas City Royals are 7-3 over the last 10 games.
I don't know how to respond to that. But yeah.
So
Royals, Rays, and Orioles are all 7-3 in the last. Wow.
And the Orioles should be 8-2. Losing that game last night, that was, and their manager got kicked out last night. Didn't like play calls. Angel Hernandez and whoever was umpiring the Yankees games, they did opposite games, but they keep – there's an umpire track. I right. have it on my social media for some of them. And, you know, because of Coop and because of T and their relationship and umpires and stuff, I try not to pick on umpires. Those guys missed – between the two of them last night, they missed 42 calls last night of balls and strikes. Now, this is – balls and strikes
Steen, you can't argue balls and strikes. You know that.
Yes, but but they can argue it after the fact.
Oh, okay.
And when you're sitting there and you miss 42, and when you look at the diagram, they weren't close 42. They were wildly bad.
And as we know, the review system is a coming.
Yep, it is.
That they're using in the minors right now.
Yep, and everybody thinks, well, you know, is it the best way? If it gets human error out from behind the plate, I think it's the right thing. I really do, because there's some great umpires.
There's
85%
I don't want robocalls. I don't want robocalls that bing.
But I think they can
ball bing.
I think
strike.
They can overrule. I think
right,
what I'd like them to do on just balls and strikes like that. It's if it was outside a certain parameter and they're down to the millimeter,
right.
That the little machine could come up on the big board and go, nope, that was a strike.
Well, that's
so the coach
the
don't have to do it. Yeah,
right.
So it's quick.
Well, and isn't it, if I remember correctly, it's the batter. It's not the coach that stops the game. It's the batter that can.
Yeah. I mean, some of these, and after you you only get to use a couple of those. Mm-hmm. And so
a couple of them, right.
And it should be the same thing as with the NFL. If you get three a game, but if you do two and you lose both, then you lose the third. I mean,
right.
you have to make it so you can't just keep doing that.
Right.
But it has to be.
They're getting yeah. the speed of the game to where it needs to be. You know, it's there is something to be said for the pitch clock and getting in the box and going and getting in the box and going.
I've
watched a lot of baseball this year compared, and it's a good flow of the game. I mean, the Cubs are a little more relevant because that's why I'm watching more baseball too. But still, even if there is a finger point to the ump or whatever of, hey, that was not, or that was a strike, or that wasn't a strike, that's going to be, again, you look up and it's going to have it right there on the board. It's going to be immediate. It's not going to be a back and forth, look at a monitor that's the size of a tablet, wait 20 minutes, and then you get an answer out of it. It should be instantaneous. The technology is there. They're going to tell you. But I want it to be a backup and a review. I don't want it to be part of the game.
If we can have little computer signs as I'm driving down the street and it picks me up from three blocks away, then I'm already speeding and flashing red lights for me to slow down, I'm pretty sure that we can get a ball strike.
I think that's a geo tracker on you is what that is. So are you driving a rental car?
Yes.
Yes, there's definitely a geo tracker on you.
No, I think that's reasonable.
All right, so we've done this, and we'll do this again as things evolve here. So to be starting a National League, we've got the Brewers in first place of the Central. We've got the Braves. Good Lord, the Braves are 71-40. The Phillies are in second place in the NL East, and they're 10.5 games back.
And I'm not sure that the Phillies aren't the second-best team in the National League. I guess the third best team. The Dodgers, right. the Dodgers are going to be fine.
Dodgers are 5 games ahead of the Giants. As of right now, though, the Giants are obviously in the wild card. They're in second place. But, I mean,
it's a good baseball year in the National League.
I like watching the Dodgers. I mean, it's
I do too.
They're a fun team to watch.
Freddie Freeman is a lot of fun to watch hit a baseball. He had a couple of hits this weekend that they slow-mo'd on social media a whole bunch. And even in slow motion, you're like, man, how did he get his hands through and how did he pick that up that quick? And then when they show it at full speed and it's just like,
right.
And he picked it up way. I mean, as soon as it came out of the pitcher's hands, you could see him start. He moved his hands out and came through differently than he normally does. Yeah. And you're like, that's why he's makes the amount of money that he makes.
Padres surprise you where they are? Did you think they're going to be better?
No, because they brought in a whole bunch of high-priced guys that, you know what they say, locker room. Locker room matters.
Right.
And they are just, they got a bunch of introverts on a team with no extroverts. And it's difficult. Dodgers totally set up differently and are thinking that way. And the Padres were just spending money, which if you got it, you got to spend it, right?
We'll jump over to the AL when we get back.
We'll do. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.37. Wednesday, everybody. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. It's a good Wednesday. Nice to have you in here, sir.
Always a pleasure.
We are.
It's about to get busy.
We are. It is going to get busy. Football time. That's crazy time. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at @ScottBrower_13, at @SteenOnSports, and at @Happy_Hour_SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Minnesota Twins and the Tigers. And then we have Twins, Phillies. Sunday is Chiefs and Saints. So some exciting stuff coming up. This little segment, just a quick little blurb. We talked about this and we talked with them yesterday. So every once in a while in these 54s, we'll do some broad lawns talk. It was very, very nice to have Melissa and Izzy and Nate in here. We learned a lot of things. I think that relationship's going to grow pretty substantially and quickly. They were out at Toad today for an outing. So, I mean, my son being at a golf course, he's pretty happy if he's at a golf course. I can tell you that. So it was exciting.
Like taking a puppy for a ride.
Oh, it is.
Look at that.
It's a golf. Where are we going? Golf course. We're good to go. So it was nice. It was nice to see Melissa. She is just, she's infectious. I mean, when she's in a room, she just is fun to listen to and passionate and can't wait to keep doing stuff. So. Okay, so this is kind of our potpourri segment, but we were talking about the National League. So let's finish out the National League.
Like I said, we've got the Brewers in the Central, and this is the NL. Brewers in the Central, Braves in the East, and Dodgers in the West. Those are our leaders right now. I still think the Central is up for grabs. I think there is an outside chance that the Reds could come back and jump on top. There's an outside chance the Cubs could end up winning.
Yeah, the thing that you're gonna see with the Reds are they're gonna go 6-1, and then they're gonna go 1-6 because right. they're young and they've never been there, and they're overachieving with how young they are. The Brewers and Cubs they're a little bit more closely tied. Two games separate them.
Yep.
I think it's going to come down to pitching because I think the offenses are pretty close. I mean, the run differential for the Brewers is zero. As many runs as they've scored, as many runs as they've given out. which is good. And the Cubs are plus 57. Pitching's winning between those two. If the Cincinnati Reds get hot hitting, then the Cincinnati Reds could run away with it too. I think that's
what I love about the NL Central right now.
Yep.
It's not just all right, we can put it on cruise control and go. This is going to be, swinging. This is what do they call it? A boxing match and an elevator. They're going to keep going at each other until they get to the end. Braves walking away with it.
Yep. Phillies have to stay, if they stay healthy, I think they could get it under double digits, but they have to stay healthy.
Right.
If they lose Bryce Harper or one of their guys, that's good.
Exactly. Dodgers, I think it's theirs. I would like to see the Giants, make a run for them, if you will. But I think the Dodgers are going to end up with the NL West in their pocket.
Here's my out of bounds take on the West.
Yep.
My thought process is somebody lights a fire and the Padres get ahead of the Diamondbacks and Giants, but it might be too little too late.
Yeah. Oh, I could see that.
Because they have a load of talent on pitching and offense that's just not
– right.
Something's not – that's a place too. If that goes south, it's the same with the Yankees going south. Guess who loses their jobs? It's not players. It's not owners. It's coaches.
Right.
So, that's the sad part of
it. So, from our conversations we've had early on, the NL, really the East and the West are pretty much the same what we've been talking about, but it is fun to see the log jam is going on in the NL Central. Jumping over to the American League, those Twins. Go, baby, go, right?
Yeah.
So, you got the Twins. They're four and a half games ahead of the Guardians.
The only plus differential in that in the Central Division. I mean, it's a great thing if you could end this right now and you had the Orioles, the Twins, and the Rangers, that's a big deal. Even though the Rangers aren't a small market team or don't spend money, they've been horrible.
Right.
So the fact that they're playing well is good for baseball. The Astros, the Astros are playing really well too. That was a huge win last night and a huge blow to Baltimore. That's my hope. Baltimore's really, really young, that they don't take that loss last night and let it go into a 5-game losing streak.
The Rays would love that.
Yes, they would. What I said about the Orioles yesterday, though, I truly believe, and that is they're young, fun, and having fun, and it's hard to do losing streaks when you're that loosey-goosey.
Right.
So it'll be fun to see what happens.
So I think, obviously, the Astros would be the one in wild card that would scare me. I think the Astros can get hot, and don't say anything about banging the trash can hot. I mean, Astros.
Not cheating hot.
No.
Just, yeah.
But anyway, Rays aren't going to go away. I mean, we've got, I guess to look at it, the big one would be the Orioles. But like you said, they are on the cusp of, they had a bad loss. How is that mentally going to affect them? So, I mean, do you consider the NL wide open? Do you have a forerunner that you think? Are the Rangers hot and going to get hotter?
Wow.
Where?
I mean, if I had to pick somebody right now.
Out of the AL.
If I was picking the two teams in the AL, I would pick the Tampa Bay Rays and the Houston Astros. It's not what I want, but I'm just. The Tampa Bay Rays have been in that exact spot all year long, and Baltimore's really young. They've been right in that general frame right there.
You quietly stepped away from the Twins and the Guardians.
They don't have enough to beat those teams.
Those programs?
They're not as good as Baltimore.
And the Astros, really. Okay. Yeah,
that could be really, really close to see who goes to the World Series. I don't trust those other teams. And even though I love watching the Orioles play, I don't know if I'm ready to trust them to get to that point yet.
I'm going with Rangers and Rays, but
it'll be interesting.
It will be interesting because we are definitely seeing things tighten up, pull away or whatever, but we still have a lot of baseball going on. I heard somebody talking today. I remember what it was, but you know, there's the Northwestern game that they're going to play at Wrigley?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like November. I mean, the odds of this is like balancing, doing a bottle flip on top of a pogo stick or whatever. But anyway, if the Cubs had home field, you actually would have to move the college football game.
Yeah,
but
not a World Series game. You don't move World Series games.
No. But anyway, just the thought of actually having a conversation saying, you know what, we could be having October baseball and saying the Cubs again. That'd be kind of fun for this area.
It would be fun for this area. We got 2 minutes left, and I'll give credit. I saw this today, and it really hit home. Murph and Andy had Mr. Movie on, and I mean, it's a good pull. And it says, a movie that which is disturbing that you liked but can't watch twice. And the first one on there is The Exorcist. I remember the first time I watched The Exorcist.
I don't think I made it through once. I've seen it. It was, yeah, it's a pivotal movie. But
the
yeah.
interesting one was The Passion of the Christ. We kind of try to watch that, you know, try to keep up with my Catholic faith there. The fourth one was American History.
American History X with Ed Norton.
Oof,
yeah.
That was tough to watch. And this one, and I thought this put Adam Sandler over for me because it was so uncomfortable to watch that I can't watch it again. Uncut Gems.
Yeah, and it's about NBA players and mob and all this. I agree with you. They nailed it when they were talking about, those are some uncomfortable movies.
He did not get enough credit for that movie of how he acted in that movie.
Right.
I thought it was really good compared to most stuff that he does that I am not one of those guys that ever rips on Adam Sandler because he's living his best life.
Right.
He has a wife, a whole bunch of kids, shoots baskets in New York every day, and just makes movie and people pay. That's all he does.
What's your schedule? Have you, and I haven't heard you say anything, have you seen Oppenheimer yet?
I have not. And
are you okay with not seeing it in the theater? Are you going to wait to watch it on your own?
I could do it either way. I'm not a Barbie person, though. People say it's great.
No. It's not a Barbie movie. It's a satire, if you will, and it's supposed to be
two of my favorite,
quite well done.
Two of my favorite actor, and I mean, I like both of them a
Ryan
lot.
Gosling.
He is amazing in a bunch of movies, and so is she. Her acting, to go from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the, she's crazy good and crazy. But she's crazy good.
Plays Harley Quinn in one movie. She plays Tanya Harding in another movie.
Yeah, it's a range.
Yeah,
and Ryan Gosling's he's not hard to look at.
I'm just the Notebook. He's my Notebook guy.
Yep, that's what he does. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. We're going to jump over to the NFL when we come back. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. We are more than halfway through the week. State Fair starting tomorrow. That's excitement in the Steen Block household. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower _13, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _SS. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins and the Tigers again tonight. The Boy, lost the term there. The deciding game tonight, the
rubber match?
Rubber match, there you go, is tonight. Twins and Phillies, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You won't get them on Sunday because we have the Chiefs and the Saints preseason game. And next Tuesday is the Twins and Tigers again in Minnesota. This one will be in Minnesota. They're in Detroit right now. I think I hit everything. You got the read, and I'll read the last one.
All right. Heritage Building and Maintenance, providing peace of mind and protecting the future of your buildings and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners in science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services. Through data-driven research and development, customers who participate in their science-proven program can be rest assured they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their built environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to their dedicated team members at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance.
You rocked it. You rocked it, my friend.
I cut out a whole paragraph.
There you go. It sounded excellent.
It was redundant.
Okay.
Good stuff.
So,
before we jump into the NFL, I know we're going to talk, you know, some things in camp, stuff like that. So, I was talking to you about it a little bit earlier, and it's I was looking at Baker Mayfield because he was going to get the starting position, but I actually said Johnny Manziel because I also had that pulled up as well, and you said, I don't think Johnny Manziel's getting a position in the NFL anymore. So, ha-ha, yes, I screwed up. That's what we have sometimes. But the Johnny Manziel documentary, Untold, Johnny Football, released on Netflix this week. Haven't seen it yet, but the buzz about it is it's going to be one of those deals. It's going to be a must-watch.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
One of the big things that the buzz everybody's talking about, and I love the way that this is termed, and it was his agent, Eric Burkhart. It said one of the biggest moments that's catching everyone's attention right now is when his agent, Eric Burkhart, revealed that Manziel never watched tape. Dramatic pause. Ever. Okay, not even not a game, not a play, not a second, nothing. And then it buzzes to Manziel was given a team iPad from the coaches when he was with the Browns. They could secretly track how much time you put in to studying. Zero. The problem was Manziel didn't watch any film. Literally not a minute. So also from the understanding, I haven't done a deep dive, but I mean, far as this, Johnny was the dude in high school. And I mean, we're talking, it was Texas football. You had 2-a-days every day of the year. And he was great. He didn't have to worry about school. He was great. He was football. Went to college. He was great. Didn't have to worry about school. He played football.
And they worked around and just let him be him.
Right. And
when you get to the NFL, doesn't happen.
How do I say this? The gates get smaller.
Yep.
Okay, this gate's going to let 100,000 of you through. Good job. You're special. This gate's going to let 10,000 of you through. Good job. You're special. This gate, we're going to knock it down to 500 people.
Yep.
You really got to be special to get through that gate.
Now, and I think that's really funny, and just to get a practice part of this, you always say that sometimes with me when we say, practice, practice.
Talking about practice.
8- and 10-year-olds don't need a whole lot of practice because they don't have that attention span, but everybody else needs a lot of practice.
But okay, I know you say that tongue in cheek, and I've been around you for many years. As far as if you were coaching baseball or if what it was practice, and you had your opinion and stuff like that. Yes, practice with an 8- and 10-year-old is not necessarily the attention of keeping them doing what it is, but the idea is memory,
right?
And it's the body doing the same thing over
exactly.
And over again so that, I mean, whether it is martial arts training or whatever, you do it repetition so that when it is needed, your mind doesn't think about, I have to move my arms like this. Your body just reacts to whether it's scooping that ball up and not even thinking about it, but you're throwing it in this situation, you're throwing it to second, not third. You're throwing it to home, not first. If the ball's dropped here, touch the plate. I mean, it's going through the scenarios so you don't think when you play the game.
Eight to ten year old practices were so the parents could get away for 2 hours.
That's we were at some of the practices, and we. But anyway, yes, it's. I know you are tongue in cheek. With things.
Practice is important.
Develop a young athlete, you have to have repetition and good leadership so that that young person can do it correctly.
And in some of these, football in general is the hardest because you have to, because it's so regimented, because everybody has to be on the same page. Basketball is the easiest because you can scrimmage and coach. You can't do that in baseball. You have to practice the stuff in baseball. You have to practice hitting.
Well, depending on the age, though, you do layup drills. You have to get a foundation for your basketball players.
No.
Well.
I agree with that.
Because if you don't have the fundamentals, you can't just say, all right, go out there and scrimmage.
I'm just saying keeping everybody in going, it's easier to do in basketball because you can do it in a separate setting. So kids just aren't standing there doing nothing.
Right. Whereas baseball, you have to have, or football, you have to have a good sized staff because, all right, infielders, go do you.
Yep.
Catchers, go do you. Pitchers, you're over here.
And then you got to have everybody. Football's even worse because
today
you're
hitting. Yeah. Offense, defense, special teams,
everything.
Linemen, backs.
So, I mean, what Johnny Manziel did, he made a ton of money. I'm assuming, his parents are wealthy too, but I have no idea how much he has left. I don't think that this.
Oh, I don't think I, there's a lot left.
Yeah, I don't think this
Johnny
Netflix
Manziel
thing isn't going to be a total hit job on him either. He's likable when you listen. He's likable when you listen to him, when he's not talking about all the things that he did wrong, but what he's doing now.
And I heard somebody say, and this is so American in a mindset. We love a fall from grace story.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he had everything given to him. Oh, look at him. He took every opportunity that he was just handed to him, and he blew it up.
Yep.
Okay. Some of it is on the person, and there has to be a certain amount on its surroundings as well.
No, absolutely.
If you are parental, or if you are a leader, or you're somebody, and you see, and I'm sure somebody did, hey, bud, not going down the right path. If you maybe, I've seen this before, you are going to implode. Nope, I'm better. I mean,
his high school money made money off of him. His college made a ton of money off of him. And even in his pro career, how small it was, he was marketable.
Right.
And it happens.
Didn't he go to the CFL?
It's crazy. Yeah, he might have. What's crazy about that is there's more Johnny Manziels happen in football, then there are more people that end up like Johnny Manziel than end up like Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the reason that everybody hates all this stuff, because when you look at him when he came into the NFL, he looked like me and you.
Right.
And now he looks
He looked like a Michigan quarterback.
Right.
Let's just say that.
Now he looks like what you and I might have looked like when we were like 19.
He looks more like his ex-wife than he does a football player. Let's just say that. But there's a lot of people that go, man, that Brady, and they're like, God, he's too much. He's this, because all he is this. I mean, he's making sure that he's around his receivers so that whether it's a conversation or catching a ball, their timing is spot on. That's what he did. I mean, he made sure that. As long as we are going to do this, and as long as we are going to win, we're going to put in the most time. Peyton Manning was just
the same.
He put so much mental time into it that he would overthink the game right in front of you. You'd be like, wait a minute, didn't you last time you did a draw and you said the same thing? But it was whatever the little things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all knew what Omaha meant by the end of it. But I mean, it was.
And he's made it into almost a $1 billion company.
Right.
That's pretty crazy.
Right. But
Omaha,
I mean,
Productions.
But then we have the story that we talked about yesterday. So you've got intense people that have this is our goal. Here's how we're going to achieve it. This is what we're going to do. And you either get on next to me or get on my back. We're going to do this together. It's going to be intense. Hold on. Then you get the story I had yesterday of this. That Bieniemy guy, he's pretty intense. Okay, you're not coming off of back-to-back Super Bowls. Maybe there's something to it about his coaching style. You've got to click it up to another level to get to another level.
Right. And I think what's going to happen from all of this is if Washington doesn't start off very well, Ron Rivera is going to lose his job. Because what Ron Rivera did in the last 2 days, yesterday saying that in public, in with a microphone there. I mean, I wouldn't even say I was talking to my buddy.
Dude, that's what scares me is if they lose three games and Rivera loses his job, they're going to take fingers and point them at Bieniemy because they're going to be like, well, he lost the locker room. No, he didn't.
No, I don't think.
But I can see the fingers getting pointed.
Yeah, I don't think the locker room is anywhere near lost. And I think if the players knew who the players were that went and talked to Ron Rivera, they would be angry.
Yes.
And not only did he throw Eric Bieniemy under the bus, Ron Rivera.
Was it starters that ran and said?
My thought process would be no, it wasn't. Because I think he's trying to get some people under starters who he thinks is better than starters to start
exactly
kicking up.
He's trying to get a core that cares.
Yeah, and then the other coach now it's a Carolina Panther. He's the defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio. He even threw Jack Del Rio under the bus today. He goes, you know, I should have kept that conversation I had with Jack Del Rio and me confidential. Well, now you just threw him under the bus. You threw Jack Del Rio under the bus twice.
Jeez.
I mean, I've never been a Ron Rivera fan as a coach. As a human being, he has gone through a ton, and he has helped so many people in his life. I just don't think he's a very good football coach. And listen, that is a young team that needs a lot of stuff to go right, and it has a young quarterback. And guess what? Eric Bieniemy had Pat Mahomes, and everybody didn't think Pat Mahomes was very good either. And look where he is now. I mean, it's tiered in the NFL. It is Patrick Mahomes, and then yawn, and then here's the next guy, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, whoever you want to say. But it's not close because he hasn't had the best team. Patrick Mahomes is Tom Brady. He's winning Super Bowls even though he doesn't have the best team.
We have seen this, whether it is football, and I'm not saying just NFL, it's at college level. We've seen it on basketball teams at a professional level. We've seen it in baseball. Just because you can afford or put together the best talent in the room does not mean that they are cohesive. It's better to have chemistry than talent sometimes, and depending on if it's golf, you can be arrogant, talented, quirky, whatever.
Because it's just you.
But it's just you. You get on the basketball court and you have five personalities or three out of those five personalities that want to be the shining star and they're fighting within their own ranks, not good. Football, same way. You've got to have a tip of the spear and followers. You've got to have, you know, understanding the simplicity of a team mindset.
Yeah, it's normally, and there's been a couple of times that this isn't totally true in the NFL. You can have all the talent in the world, and if you have a crappy coach, you're not going to win. You can have some of the least amount of talent in the NFL, and you have a good coaching staff, and there's been a lot of them that have gotten their teams as far as you could humanly think they could get with the type of talent they had. It is the one league that coaching matters the most. Because like if you take the NBA, you take the NCAA, as long as you have people that you've put on your squad that are leaders and are talented and are willing to put the work in, when you look at the greats, right? When you look at Larry Bird, when you look at Magic Johnson, when you look at LeBron James, when you look at Steph Curry, people that are willing to put in the work and everything, they don't need great coaching. They just need to have the ability to use what they have. But if you take a great team and you don't have a good coach or a good front office, you get a lot of the LA Clippers, the teams that spend all the money but never win. You know what? I can throw my New York Yankees in there for quite a while. And you know that they always spend all the money, just never could put it together. I think coaching matters now more than ever. But here's the one thing that threw that for a loop one time, and it was Barry Switzer and the Dallas Cowboys. There was so much talent, and it was the worst thing ever for Jimmy Johnson because that was letting Jerry Jones go.
Right.
You know, when you told me that the only reason we're winning these is because of you,
I just won a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer. That ruined it for everybody. But it doesn't happen anymore.
I mean, I like Jimmy a lot back when he was coaching. I mean,
well, Jimmy now.
Yeah.
He'd
always talk about getting on his boat, going out. That's when he went to Miami. I'd just get on the boat, have a few Heinekens with coaches, and we'd figure out what we're going to do.
Yep, I like it. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We got a couple of minutes, so I'm going to tease a little bit. I have in my hands the valuations for 2023 for NFL teams.
The valuation
of their teams.
Okay. You mean what the market value is, or you mean their what their payroll is?
No, what the market value is if they sold the team.
Really?
Yes, for all of them, which is pretty amazing.
I had an interesting one pop up on one of my feeds. I think it was on Twitter. But it just, and it's, I didn't see the AFC one, but it was the NFC head coaches' ages.
NFC, did you say NFC?
NFC coaches' ages. Obviously.
Young.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll's old.
Is the oldest. How old is Pete Carroll?
73.
71.
Yeah.
One that got me is down in the Buccaneers. Was it Todd Bowles?
Yeah.
He's 59.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he's older than I thought.
Yeah. He's 2 years older than me. It's crazy. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. 101.3, 1700 the champ. More NFL talk coming up, real sports talk. Once again, happy Wednesday. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 the champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at ScottBrower_13, at HappyHour_SS, and at Steen on Sports. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight, joined in progress right after this show. And Kansas City Chiefs preseason comes up on Sunday at 11 o'clock, a pregame. Mitchell's pregame will be on there. So that'll be exciting as always. But that music has kind of just shut off. Like boom.
Yeah, it did.
It kind of
Was there a weather warning or something? Are we actually on?
Yeah, I think it kind of fades usually. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, and card access and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and learn more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company.
Did you see that the Washington State president, college president, spoke out about 2.5 hours ago?
No.
And it can go a couple ways with this, but it was pretty much his line was, it's like a breakup. It's awkward. No one wants to sit there for too long. As this is going on with the demise of the Pac-12 dwindling here, the ACC is in discussions, obviously, everybody knows it, with Stanford and Cal, which would be, like it says, would certainly be a stretch because Stanford and Cal would be considered for the ACC, which is the Atlantic Coast, which is even in the name, for Pete's sakes. Yep. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but the admission is both Washington State and Oregon State. He came down to it and said, it may be that we just accept an invitation to the Mountain West. We would rely on private dollars to make our budgets at the top of the league. So this is why I brought this up. So I ask you, is this, well, we lost, we're defeated, this is the best we can do. Do they know that they are the ones left dwindling in the wind?
Yep. And you know what a lot of people are looking for? They're looking for the scapegoats, right?
Right.
And this came out today, and I think this is kind of sums it up. The Pac-12 school presidents overvalued themselves and tried to negotiate through the media instead of doing what...
Coming to the table.
Right. Instead of doing what Brett Yormark was doing, who was negotiating outside of everything. Nobody knew who he was negotiating and who he was negotiating with. He wasn't saying anything. He didn't... He just... Nothing. You knew nothing. Right. Larry Scott
especially being a proponent of the Pac-12 network that never worked and never made any money and cost them more than anything. Mm-hmm. Ended up losing his job to George Kalivakoff, and he couldn't right the ship and wouldn't present a deal because he knew the deal wasn't good enough, and so he just kept everybody just out there just kind of biting a little bit.
Right.
And they said that the Pac-12 had certain arrogance about them, that they were going to survive because of where they're at on the West Coast.
They had the California schools.
Yep.
They thought the California schools made them the Oregon money and the California schools. Oh, we're fine. We're the Pac-12. We're always going to do this.
Says Yomark. Yeah. Your Mark should be in the running for executive of the year for pulling off what he pulled off. So for the Pac-12, Amazon never submitted a bid. NBC never submitted a bid.
Wow, that says something right there.
Yeah, it wasn't there. And you know, when you are a conference that's been around for that long, you have to blame people. I mean, people misstepped. They did the wrong things. They had the opportunity with Bowlesby, who was after the SEC came in. And see, I can't take the SEC talking anymore, because the reason that we're all in this is they poached the first two teams.
Yeah, Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and you know, they're like, well, you know, it's not good for football what's happening to the ACC and the Pac-12. Yeah, and you're the one that started it,
right?
So, and it's going to come back. It's going to come back and bite them at some point. It always does, and which is the exciting part. But the Pac-12 had a way out. They could have combined. We wouldn't have had to pull, you know, in certain times you might have, but we wouldn't have had to pull BYU, Central Florida, all those guys.
But I think that's a good thing.
I do too. We Bowlesby went out and got those four schools. Your Mark came in and said, you know,
Northeast, Yomak. He came in, he got.
It's my mock Wahlberg. And then he finished it. And he knew in whatever, behind closed doors, and I think he went to Colorado and said, you have heritage here, you have history here. If you come in, we'll get these other teams. And they're like, I'm in. We're starting anew. We got Dion for no matter how long we have him for.
Right.
We're going to use it, and we're going to get our money. And they were the first one in.
It's not that the train was rolling down the track. It's just the fact Colorado saw the train on the track.
On the track.
And they knew, okay.
And they listened to him.
And they listened to the money that he negotiated and went, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, and they were listening to the Pac-12 guy, and they're like, these two dudes couldn't be further apart.
Right.
We're going with this dude.
Right.
And that's how it did.
Right.
So if you'd have been lucky enough in your lifetime to maybe buy a sports franchise, these are the estimated value, NFL team valuations.
Current
valuation.
Are you starting with the least?
I'm starting
with the
numero
most?
Uno. And numero uno.
Let me, don't tell me.
Okay.
It is, numero uno is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. And it's not even remotely close. Valuation well over $8
billion. Yeah. Isn't that what the Commanders just sold for?
But see, that's not an evaluation. That's a sell price.
Okay. I got you.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Number two.
Tax assessment.
Yeah. Number two on that list is the New York Giants.
Okay, that's location.
$7 billion. The LA Rams, 6.94. That's a brand new, really expensive stadium. New England at 6.7.
Oh, so you get the team and the facilities.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Gillette, very nice.
Yes, very much so.
Number five, San Francisco 49ers above $6 billion. The New York Jets above $6 billion. The Washington Commanders at $6.05 billion. Chicago Bears, $6 billion, and they've got a stadium coming, and that's what they're worth.
See, and that's that.
That's at Soldier Field.
Right, and Soldier Field is fighting so, so hard because they don't want it. They know it's going to be a crater afterwards. I mean, there's nothing they can do with it, but I keep hearing the Arlington Heights deal is not done.
Nope, I don't think it's done as well. The Eagles are at 5.95, Las Vegas Raiders 5.7, the Houston Texans 5.3. When you're going through these, you're seeing new stadiums in there. Miami Dolphins are at 5.2.
With the renovated Hard Rock,
Atlanta Falcons are 5.1, newer stadium. Denver Broncos 4.87, the Seattle Seahawks 4.82, the Steelers 4.
Seahawks, that is a beautiful stadium.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, 4.8. Now, this one surprised me, and it shows that they're not using all their money wisely. The Green Bay Packers are $4.75 billion with an older stadium and publicly owned-ish.
Yeah, but either you put money in the Lambo or you do. I mean, you can't. I mean, they are constantly putting money in the Lambo, too. But
and the Chargers are at 4.63. And that's after they paid the L.A. Rams like $500 million
to play in SoFi.
The Chiefs are at 4.52, which is pretty good for a team looking to move. So they're going to jump up in that.
Where were the Vikings at with their new stadium?
4.43. They come next.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Tennessee Titans are 4.37. The Browns,
that beautiful stadium in Nashville,
4.2. New Orleans is 4.1.
Needs to be renovated. Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals is 4.1. Tampa Bay is 4.1. Another older stadium. Buffalo Bills are 4.1. Building a new stadium.
Yep.
Jacksonville Jaguars are 4.0. Building a new stadium. And the Cincinnati Bengals are last in the league at $4 billion. Not a remodeled, not a great stadium.
Where was Carolina?
Carolina was. Did I not say Carolina?
Carolina was interesting because I remember going through Charlotte, wasn't it? Charlotte?
Yeah.
But you're going along on the highway, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. It's.
How did I miss? That's weird. It's not 21.
Oh, so it's up for grabs. It's a freebie.
21, 20. Oh, Carolina, 4.27. I missed some on the side here. I apologize. Carolina. 4.27, Baltimore, 4.24.
Okay.
Indianapolis, 4.2, Cleveland, 4.2.
And Dallas being the top was you said a little over 8 mil, or 8 billion. Wow.
And that's a crazy stadium. So when we were down playing Dallas Baptist, the SDSU kids got to go through, I mean, everywhere, even up in Jerry Jones's office. They said it was amazing.
We did that when we were down there with the buying group. It was part of one of our activities, but went through and, you know, to stand on the star in the middle, and it was pretty darn cool. But to listen to them talk about how the similarities of what they go through with a cycle of when we talk to people from Wells Fargo. You go through your basketball time, then, okay, now we can go through, we can do our rodeo, we can do our tractor pull. They had that, because then it's, okay, when the dirty's gone, now we can clean up, and then we go into the concert series, and then we go into this, and this. That place is constantly. I mean, as much as Wells Fargo has something different going all the time.
Oh, that does.
Jerry's World had something going on all the time. It's not all about the Cowboys.
Yeah, and it's exciting, and I don't know. It's... that's the key, right? It's the stadium naming rights is a huge part of that.
Right.
That's SoFi. I think that's a lot of the Rams. SoFi paid a ton of money to be on that as a stadium name on there.
SoFi spent a lot of money with that. Yes.
So, like, you have Arrowhead, like Kansas City. Unless it's somebody can, and it could be something Arrowhead Stadium. I don't know if it is, but you know, just some of the Soldier Field. Is it something Soldier Field? Because you don't have naming rights for some of these that are just Soldier Field or Arrowhead or
Lambeau.
There, you know, there's not naming rights there either. And you know, that's always been the thing is would the NFL ever make Green Bay change their ownership structure to fit, because it doesn't fit with all the rest of the ownership structures in the NFL.
I
hope not. you know, but it doesn't mean that it can't happen, but I hope it doesn't happen is what I've kind of always thought.
It is actually GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
Really? So they do have naming rights.
Right. I mean, I bet you. I mean, there is big signage as much as, there's the Mercedes logo in Atlanta, but there's also Mercedes logo in New Orleans, isn't there?
Yeah, and Mercedes, I think Mercedes is on a couple of
obviously,
them. I agree with you.
The for Miami, they went through Landshark and ended up with,
wasn't it Hard Rock at
DHL. DHL was, a company that was
like a
parcel
FedEx.
Pack. Yeah, right, exactly. But they ended up with Hard Rock, yeah.
That is very interesting as well.
But you go through and remember when it was names? Raymond James, Joe Robbie. I mean, all these, but now you got to have the mighty dollar behind it.
And see, that was like Raymond James, not that Raymond James, but their business model, they had to take, is it still Raymond James?
I haven't heard it in quite some time.
Yeah, because I thought that Raymond James had an issue with what they do of see, that's it. They're a
right, like a Charles Schwab.
Yeah,
yeah,
for retirement programs and stuff. Now they do other things, and that just seems weird to me that you have stuff like that happen. So
I looked it up. Lambeau Field is Lambeau Field.
Yeah. So not a lot of naming rights there. So that's very, very interesting that happens. So we got about, what do we have? We have a minute left here, and then we have one segment. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Iowa State Fair, a little potpourri, just kind of finish up and just give everybody, we'll do it right here in this end, that we will be live tomorrow from 4 to 6. If you want to see us, we are on the west end of the admin building. We are right next to the restrooms, right next to first aid, and right next to the gizmo stand, which I heard is now like 5 feet from us.
Is it gizmos or it is gizmos?
Yeah, it's the gizmo.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, find the gizmos,
it's
we're right there.
The best gizmo stand.
It's convenient. We're right next to the restroom.
It is. We're right next to the restroom. And when you see us and you pass out, because, man, are we good-looking radio people, we can take
faces.
You right to first aid.
Faces for radio.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh.
One day closer, my friend. One day closer.
Hard Knocks, have you watched yet?
Have not.
I have not either. They say Aaron Rodgers was
talk
a
about
star.
It. Let's talk about it.
Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter is at @ScottBrower_13, at @SteenOnSports, at @1700TheChamp, and at @HappyHour_SS. Facebook's at @1700TheChamp, and the website 1700TheChamp.com. Minnesota Twins play the Tigers tonight. Right after, you'll get right into the game, joined in progress. When we're done tonight, these segments were brought to you by Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance. Also by Broadlawns Medical Center, Bolder, Better, Brighter. I remembered because I have it on a bag.
Oh, I actually wrote it in the packet where we do reads, but that's fine. Your bag is nice as well.
It is a nice. So both of us are heading out to the fairgrounds after this.
Yeah. Tonight is what they call it, free night, soft opening, blah, blah, blah. So it's not that everything's going to be open, but you can go around, have a beer. And get ready to see what's going to go down. All right. So you said this before, you asked me briefly before we went to break. Have I watched any Hard Knocks yet? I haven't.
I
am going to end up doing it, but there is a really good article. Actually, it was on Twitter, and it bumped over to Barstool Sports. But it's even the headline of it is Aaron Rodgers maybe isn't the you-know-what that we think he is. The way that he's acting around when he had the headphones on, he's actually being a mentor. He's saying the right things. He's doing – is this just an ongoing act? I mean, is he really that miffed at the as much as he was a butthead up in Green Bay, and
oh, they ticked him off
massively. This is under
his skin. The fact that they drafted Jordan Love and didn't give him a heads up, and spent a pick, and didn't get anything that he could use.
Right, didn't get weapons for him. Yep. They got a replacement,
and he's that guy.
Oh yeah,
he's that guy that's never going to forget.
Vindictive. Little.
Oh yes, he is very
but
much.
He
so.
Is. I mean, they're saying that he is. He's a coach on the sidelines. He's a mentor.
He wouldn't even talk to his wide receivers at Green Bay last year.
Right. I mean, have you seen the footage of some of the passes he's thrown to? And that one of the things on Barstool is there's nothing like a mid throw or whatever over the top to Ed Sheeran songs, because I mean everything is orchestrated on the show. I mean, yeah. He's on a mission.
Yes.
And that's not a good thing for the rest of the teams in the AFC if he's on a mission. But I still have scratch my head slightly about his offensive line.
It's bad.
He's got some weapons. He's definitely got some weapons.
And he's got a defense. And so that's going to be interesting. I had
a really good defense.
Two topics for you. One fun, and I'll let you start thinking of this.
Okay.
Top 25 college media personalities. Keep that in your back of your head and see if you can.
Okay.
Top 25 college media personalities. Hold your thought. This one here, though, irritated me, and I had this dude's back, and now I'm debating if I still have his back. So last night, the PGA commissioner, Jay Moynihan, had a...
never had his back.
Who's back? Rory McIlroy's?
Oh, is it Monahan? I'm like,
No. Monahan. I've never had Monahan's back. Right? No, absolutely not. They had a meeting last night, and a bunch of the players are there. One player missing... Rory McIlroy. He was out working out beforehand and came over afterwards and just went, hey, and walked away. That's not what you're expecting from your dude who said, hey, Tiger and I got this, and right. I don't think...
Well, but I don't think I... You notice how... I don't know. Well, we've heard from Tiger in a path of what he wants. I just... Maybe he's not getting the love and direction that he was expecting to get.
Well, because Tiger got put on the PGA board, which was huge. So, yeah, I don't know. It seemed like Rory went, you know what? I don't think anybody, you know, I said I'm ready to step up in that, and some people had, you know, were right behind me. I think Rory disappeared, so I don't know. I thought that was interesting today. So, top 25 college personalities. And it is football. Top 25 college football media personalities. Go. Number one. Who do you think it is?
You're not talking like a Gary Dolphin.
No.
You're just talking.
I'm talking.
When it comes to football. Like
college football media personalities.
So okay, people, like Lee Corso.
Lee Corso is number one.
Okay. Kirk Herbstreit.
Is number four.
Who's the one? Reggie Bush.
He is on here. He is 25.
I like Leinart.
Matt Leinart.
And then Brady. He always seems to wear a lot of makeup. Who am I thinking of? He's also on Game Day. With
Pat McAfee?
No. No, he's on. He was on the one with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and.
Oh, yeah, the coach. No, that was not the coach.
But anyway, it's. Can we go with? I still go back to Keith Jackson.
Yep, not on there.
Really?
No.
Because we have to have current, evidently. Well, yeah. Okay, give me top five.
I was going to say Keith Jackson's dead.
I know, but I mean, well, that's why I'm saying. Are we going? Are we going?
Number two
all
is
time?
Gus. Number two is Gus Johnson. Okay. I like Gus Johnson.
All right.
Number three is Chris Fowler. Herbstreit's number four.
Chris Fowler. Wow. Okay.
Joel Klatt is number five. Fox guy. I love Joel Klatt. Paul Feinbaum is number six. Yeah. Can't stand him.
No.
Chris Felicia is number seven.
Yep.
I like him. RG3 is number eight.
You know what? He's growing on me.
He's really good, too. I really like him.
Yeah.
Desmond Howard is number 9.
He's good.
David Pollack is number 10.
Okay.
That's at ESPN. Pat McAfee's number 11. I think that's way too low. I mean, he moves needles. If you like him or hate him or do whatever
he's
you
not, want. He just barely got a actual gig last year.
Yeah.
He's in the wings to take Corso, and Corso finally steps down.
Joe Testashore is 12. Todd Blackledge is 13. Holly Rowe is 14. I think she might be a little low, too.
Yeah, yeah, she's a big name.
Sean McDonough is 15. Reese Davis is 16. Danny Cannell, I really like Danny Cannell, too. He's 17. Tim Brando, Andy Staples, Joey Galloway, an up-and-comer. I like him, too. Brad Nessler, Matt Barry, Alyssa Lang, sorry, Matt Leinart, and Reggie Bush. Not bad. Is Lee Corso really the top personality?
I think he's the most recognizable.
Probably. I think you're right.
You can't take away what he did for decades, dude. I mean,
no.
He
had a niche, right?
He had a niche. Lee Corso to me was just like Dick Vitale. You watched him just to hear what was coming out of his mouth, you know? And
I love Dick Vitale too, but man, I can't take him nowadays.
Right.
That he was one today. You know, he's going through his radiology stuff for his throat cancer came back again.
Right.
And he got done today, and he's writing, and then they're reading it, and it's like, you know, what they did to the Pac-12 was horrific and all that. And I'm like, you know, that's funny that all these guys are saying that, but they didn't say it when it happened to the Big 12, which got all this started. And right. that's
when
my,
they took from the Big 12.
Right. That's my thought on this is, and we let people run the narrative that the SEC is the best. And they say it every time you hear it on ESPN, the best conference. They have 5 good teams.
Right.
And they have 8 not so good teams.
Right, but they get championships out of the SEC.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, and they say, you know, it was the most money that anybody got. And I looked it up today. The Big Ten got more money in television contract than SEC did. But SEC just doesn't care because I can just shout this
exactly.
And people down
it's
here
those,
believe me.
I've known people that in my life. As long as you say it loud enough and
yep.
enough, it becomes the truth.
It's the truth
you
and
betcha.
Let you be set free. I don't know. It is what it is. If here's some things they did. They signed way too long a contract for TV, knowing that TV was changing. I mean,
ACC or SEC?
No, the Pac-12 signed they signed a 12-year
right.
contract. No one signs a 12-year
no.
contract.
It was 5 to 7, yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't think that they could get anything else out there. And this is the pre – what do we got? Oh, I don't have enough time. Preseason top 25. We'll do this tomorrow if we have some free time.
Coaches?
Yep, it's the coaches poll.
You know what the most interesting one on that group is? A team that doesn't have a conference, Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah.
They're 16, aren't they?
Yep, they were.
Huh.
And it's
weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And in a conference that's supposed to be so good, and you have Oregon State, who I don't think they've ever been good at football.
Right.
So that's pretty crazy.
Anyway, something to talk about tomorrow.
Next time that you guys are listening to us, we will be at the State Fair. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We will see you tomorrow.
Couldn't see the clock.
Couldn't see what?
I couldn't see the clock.
Oh.